A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Chagiga Yates, Chagiga 19a, pagination page 37. The Mishnah on the facing page introduced a concept that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when there were many different reasons and levels that a person would go to mikvah for, there was Kodesh, there was Truma, there was Chulin, there was Meiser, all kinds of different levels that a person would go to mikvah to achieve purity for. So there was a concept called huchzak, that a person went to mikvah with a certain intent, a certain level that he wanted to maintain. And once he disengages from the mikvah, whatever intent he had in mind when he went into the mikvah, that's going to be the level of purity that he has achieved. And he's not going to be able to go and handle things that are of a higher level of purity. But while he's still in the mikvah, he is able to ascend in his level, in his decision of what level of purity he wants to achieve. So our Gemara tells us that there is an approach which says, Odehu, if he is still in the mikvah, afal pi shehuchzak, even though he intended for a certain thing, but machzik, he can still change his mind and upgrade the level of kedusha that he wants to achieve. These decisions are considered midrabanon, rabbinic enactments, that a person achieves a certain level of purity based on going to the mikvah. But midoraisa, once a person goes to the mikvah, he's gone to the mikvah. In these different levels of huchzak, of what his intent was, and that he could only change his intent while he's still attached to the mikvah, while he's still engaged in the mikvah. So the Gemara presents a fascinating perspective, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which is quite lenient in what's considered still attached and engaged in the mikvah as far as this rabbinic enactment goes of what level of purity do you intend to achieve. So let's take a look at this Gemara, counting up from the wide lines, about 15 lines, in the middle of a line, Ditnan Mikvah Shenimdad. The Gemara tells us, Mikvah Shenimdad, a mikvah that was checked, it was counted, V'yeshpo arbaim sa'ah mechuvanos, and it is exactly 40 sa'ah, 40 measures of water, that is the requisite amount for the mikvah to be kosher. V'yardu shnayim, and two people went into this mikvah, V'tavlu zeh achar zeh, they were going to mikvah one after another. Says the Mishnah, Harishon tahar, the first one is going to be tahar because he went into a kosher mikvah. V'hasheni tamei, but the second one is going to be tamei, because if the first one comes out of the mikvah before the second one goes in, and a little bit of water is on the first one, so then he has taken out a little bit of water from a mikvah that you told me was exactly kosher. Now, we can take a step back over here and think, what are the odds that we were able to measure a mikvah and it was perfectly, exactly on target kosher? I mean, all of our mikvahs are purposely made extra large with extra water and extra space, because we don't whittle it down to the exact number. But the Mishnayos often deal with cases whether they were able to achieve that level of precision or not. Perhaps they were. They had a Sanhedrin. They could paskin that this mikvah is exactly kosher. But even if they didn't have that level of precision as a normal matter of course, it still is a beautiful case which is going to explain to us how the halachas work. And it'll help us regarding our shaila, which we'll get back to in a moment. Right now, we have a mikvah that was exactly kosher in terms of the amount of water that it had. First person goes in, he carries water out with him. And therefore, when the second one goes in, there's no longer the requisite amount of water. And therefore, hasheni tamei, the second one remains impure. Amar Rabbi Yehuda said, and this is why we came to this statement, Im hayu raglav shel rishon nogos b'mayim, if the feet of the first one are still touching the water, meaning they're, let's say, they're steps in the mikvah, and his feet are still in the water. Afasheni tahar. The second one is going to be tahar, because there's a concept called good achis, which sends the water down as if it's still in the mikvah. This may have something to do with the concept of gravity, that water generally will go down, and it's not as simple to say good asik, water going up. But whatever it is, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that because your feet are in the water is still considered attached to the mikvah, and we do have the requisite amount of water over here in the mikvah. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Machlokes b'maylos d'rabbonon. He explained that this leniency only makes sense, good achis, that the water is as if it's in the mikvah, by stringencies of a rabbinic nature. Avomitumah l'taira, but if you were looking for a regular kosher mikvah, divrei hakol hasheni tamei. Everybody agrees the second one is tamei. In other words, this good achis concept is not going to give you a truly kosher mikvah. But if a person is tahar, he went to mikvah, but he didn't go for the right level and he needs to increase his level, this type of mikvah would be kosher for such a person. Vahainu derebi pedos, and likewise it would work for the statement that we were discussing before, if a person is in a mikvah and he, when he went in, only intended for one level of Kedusha, and now he has to raise his level of Kedusha, he wants to change his mind and say, it should be for even a greater level of Kedusha, so his feet in the mikvah with the water attached, this entire picture is sufficient to be considered attached to the mikvah, and he's still able to revise his intent as to what level of Kedusha he wanted to achieve. We're using a term, good achis, and likewise there's a term, good asik. We encountered these terms in the laws of Eruvin, where if you have a fence which is 10 tefachim high, you're able to make believe, figuratively, that the fence goes up indefinitely. That's called good asik. You send the wall up. A lechi, in laws of Erevin, the upright, doesn't have to actually reach the crossbeam. It just has to go 10 tefachim high, and you have to know with precision that it's underneath the crossbeam, and you're able to do good asik, sending it up. There's a different concept called good achis, where sometimes we're willing to send down a figurative line, a halachic line, and that's what was being employed over here. We're taking water that's on his arm, and we're making believe it's still part of the mikvah, because it's in its airspace, perhaps. But somehow we're able to send it down. Let's skip to a Gemara that's four lines up from the wide. Amar Ula, Ula said, Bo'amine, there was the following question that was asked. Mau lahatbil machtin vitzinorios birosho shel rishon. Are you allowed to be tovel, to immerse a needle in the head of the first one? Remember, we're dealing with a person that went into a kosher mikvah. As he came out, he diminished the amount of water in the mikvah. But we said that in certain ways, at least in rabbinic situations, we were willing to do a good achis. We were willing to imagine that that water, which is still in the ear space of the mikvah, is as if it's still attached to the mikvah and it's still part of the mikvah. So we want to know if that water is still part of the mikvah, are you allowed to put a needle into his ear, which is soaking, still dripping with water, and claim that that was an immersion in the mikvah? Says the Gemara, first wide line, good achis isle l'Rabbi Yehuda. Perhaps Rabbi Yehuda only holds of good achis that you can make the water go down into the mikvah, but good asik lesle, but to make the mikvah water be attached as if it's attached to that water that's on his head, and send the mikvah water up and give you a kosher mikvah on the head of the person who just immersed, that you can't do. O Dilma good asik nami isle, or maybe you can also go up with the water. Omaleitin Yeshua, he said it would be related to a different shaila. The case, Shalosh Gemamios Benachal, there were three pits in a riverbed. Hoel Yona Vatachtona Vohemtsois, there's the upper, the lower, and the middle in the flow of the riverbed. Hoel Yona Vatachtona Shal Esrim Esrim Saw, top and bottom have 20 saw each. The middle one is a kosher mikvah. It has 40 saw. The chardalis and a very little stream, just barely connecting them, shal gishamim, overes beineim, is attaching them all. And the question here was, and this is why they considered it related, is that since there's a certain flow over here, could you say either good achis or possibly good asik or both? Because the middle one is a kosher mikvah. Could you take that water and with this slight attachment with the upper pit, consider the upper pit as if it has the requisite arboim sah, because it's attached to one that does, and you'd be able to be tovel glass in that upper mikvah, in that upper pit? Or the reverse, are you able to take the mikvah water and head it downstream and enable us to consider the lower mikvah to be a kosher mikvah and be able to be tovel a glass in that lower mikvah? These are all intriguing cases. They may apply in cases of mylos derabanan, as the Gemara outlined in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Reish Aleph, in Yeridaya, Sif Samach, the Mechaber paskins definitively, Ein hanizcholim ma'arvin, flowing water cannot join a mikvah, ela imken ya'amdu, unless it's stable, and we would not create kashrus based on these cases. Nevertheless, they introduce how far-reaching and intriguing the cases of mikvah could be, invoking the principle of good achis, the principle of good asik, and the principle of trying to make something kosher, at least for mylos derabanan. Yeshe koach, thank you for joining.